Previously on The Play's The Thing.
The last girl that I dated had this incredibly fraught relationship with her parents. Like, they would talk on the phone every day, and she would always get off in tears. It was this, like, constant battle of justifying herself, everything she did. And this was not, by the way, a, like, wayward or unsuccessful person, but they somehow always made her cry about how she was disappointing them or... And I'd just be like, maybe back off talking to them every single day, but she could not stop.
Huh. When was that? What, recently? Hold on, did I, like, steal you from somebody or...
No.
Really?
Or so what if you did? Isn't that kind of awesome for you?
What? Ew, no!
Welcome back to The Play's The Thing. I'm Susan Loewenberg, producing director of LA Theater Works. In the last episode of Completeness, Molly and Elliot, both brainy grad students, are having a rational, intellectual discussion about things like data and testing and two proteins binding in the same cell. And the next thing you know, they're all over each other. And of course, this brings up old flames, past hurts, and plenty of uncertainty. Oh yeah. Molly's academic supervisor has a thing for her, too. Is it mutual? It's definitely complicated. Let's see how this plays out. Here's part three of Completeness by Itamar Moses, made possible by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world, starring Jason Ritter, Mandy Siegfried, Mia Baron, and Andre Soluzzo. Directed by Steven Sachs and recorded live in performance in Los Angeles in October 2011.
So you were right. I mean, you were right to be worried at first, because originally the data was pretty messy, pretty difficult to read, but it turns out it's not a problem because this, I guess, algorithm, once I worked out how to use it, could clean the data up enough that, I mean, not completely, that's impossible apparently for very long and complex reasons, but enough to know where the real pathways likely are.
Sounds great.
Yeah, and so I also wanted to just thank you for pushing me to have such high standards, because otherwise I might have stayed kind of stuck just where I was.
Well, that is my job.
Well, but yeah, so. So what do we do with all these petri dishes now? Do we wash them all or?
No.
Well, but for reuse?
No, what do you, Molly, those will never be sterile again. We'll just order new ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're not in college anymore.
Okay. So, okay, so I should tell you...
That you're seeing this guy, this algorithm guy, this Elliot. You're involved with him now.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'd say we're involved exactly.
No, look, it's fine. Listen, this, you and me, this thing was bound to end at some point, right? It was... I mean, it probably shouldn't have started in the first place. It's, you know, very... And now that this happened, well, then great, you know? It's probably for the best.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so do not worry about it.
Okay, yeah. Except in your voicemail, you seemed...
Voicemail?
Yeah, you left me, like, this message where you sounded kind of...
Huh?
Yeah.
I do not remember that.
What? Really?
I've been... You know what? I've been taking, like, cold medication makes me kind of... I mean, that stuff's basically speed, so who knows what I... I mean, sorry about that, but no. Yeah, no.
Okay.
Okay.
In that case, can we talk about what's next?
Of course.
Well, because according to this, Protein M binds to collagen, integrin, fibronectin, thrombospondin, myosin, perlecan, several growth factors.
Wow, quite the molecular hussy.
Excuse me?
And I'm sorry. Protein M?
What? Oh.
You named it after yourself?
No, I didn't. He...
Oh, I see. Cute. Go on.
Well, I will rename it after its function with a nice vowel end suffix like we do once I know exactly what the function is.
I'm sure you will.
So, what I'd like to do is a straight knockout in mice. I thought about RNA interference, but people are getting great results now by just injecting damaged genes directly into mouse gonads.
I know what a straight knockout
and,
is.
Yeah, hoping for germline transmission.
I know how they work.
Well, so then that is what I would like to do. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think just slow down there a second, okay? Just slow down.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, for one thing, you can't really do knockouts in this area. The phenotypes are too severe. You'll kill the mice.
Well, but...
Secondly, mice are expensive. Like an order of magnitude more expensive than Drosophila, elegans...
Franklin uses mice.
Franklin's been here longer.
My results won't mean as much in anything but mice.
Well, but regardless, most importantly, what makes you sure that this rather prodigious list of interaction partners is even accurate?
Oh, well, because the algorithm...
Yeah. Okay, look, it's great you tried to mitigate false positives. That's great. And I know that all these computational approaches can be very flashy and impressive in the short term. That is, hey, that's why they're so fashionable right now, yeah? But is the basis for devoting significant departmental resources because a computer said so leaves for me something to be desired.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying either the band is on the gel, so to speak, or else it's not. I'm saying that if you have to use statistical analysis to make your data say certain things, then your data itself is unreliable. I am saying that if you wish to move on to genetic perturbations of any kind, then you should go back, do more screens, and get these results for real. Because in the end, in my experience, nothing takes the place of a person in a room just putting in the time. Not even a big, fancy algorithm, okay? Okay.
You told me I was brave.
What?
It was one of the first things you said to me when you took me on. You said that you thought I was brave and...
Yes, that's
and
right.
And that was important because the longer we do this kind of thing, the harder it gets not to fall into certain patterns that can stunt our progress. That the cure for that is being brave.
I remember saying those things,
Okay, but in this case, for some reason...
Molly, if there's something you'd like to say...
Okay. I just question whether you're being impartial.
Why? Because of your personal life?
Because of your connection to my personal life,
Keep your voice down. I told you that is a non-issue.
What if I don't believe you?
Oh, because there couldn't possibly be problems with your work, so it has to be some kind of bias.
It is not what you're saying about my work, Don. It's how. It's the tone of condescension and barely concealed hostility, which...
Well, maybe I sound that way because you're not being impartial.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Maybe the problem here is that you're so excited about your new boyfriend and about how he has
all
the answers that your judgment as a scientist is clouded. Because frankly, Molly, if I were you, I wouldn't be so quick to waste $10,000 worth of grant money in your first semester here, provided that your plan is to remain here very long.
Is that a threat?
It's advice. In that you are my advisee.
I see. And do you think giving that sort of advice to your advisee right after she stops sleeping with you is really a recipe for career longevity yourself there, Don?
You know what? Let's just slow this right back down a second here, okay? Let's just slow down. Why don't we say this? Write up the details of what you'd like to do as a proposal, and I will take it...
No, I think under the circumstances, I think it would be best if I had a different faculty advisor from now on.
That is not how it works.
What?
There's an official... You have to go through the department and request...
Well, so then I will do that,
then. Well, if that's what you'd like to do.
It is.
But what I think you'll find is a similar philosophy to mine prevails more or less department-wide. Go ahead. Don't keep him waiting.
That is not funny. It is not even...
No, it's all right. I'll go.
Hey, we are not finished.
Yes, we are.
Don!
No, you really should call him back. I mean, you don't want to burn that bridge, too, do you? Not until you've worked out someplace else to go. Am I right, Molly? Good luck with your work.
Hello?
Hi, sorry, it's just me calling.
Oh, hi.
Is this a bad time?
Well, kind of, yeah.
Oh.
Elliot.
See, this is why I hate the phone. You never know if people...
Elliot, what do you want?
Well...
Oh, hold on.
That's for me.
What?
I just sent that.
When?
Just now, before I called you twice and also ran downstairs.
Elliot, what is this?
Well, it started... I was trying to help you. Not to read your data better, I was still thinking that was impossible, but to maybe, as you move forward to your next experiments, might it not be helpful to have a computer model first, an algorithmic simulation of the network that you're studying, with all the proteins you already understand doing their thing and your unknown protein in the mix, so that you could make predictions and then test them, I guess, dry, in silico. But then I realized, okay, when we think of the traveling salesman problem, what we always think about is one salesman trying to choose a route. The nodes are destination points and the lines are paths he moves along. But what if the nodes aren't points, but more like bounded areas separated from the space around them by a sort of membrane like a cell, each with its own ability to make choices, as though there's a salesman in every city, or like every city is a salesman, or... Sorry, I haven't left my office in almost 4 days, so I'm
No, it's fine.
And what if you could then input, or I guess inject, something like the traveling salesman problem into each cell as a propositional formula, a question for it to answer? And what if those cells could then multiply exponentially to keep pace with exhaustive search while also being probabilistic, because every cell is making its own random choices every time it runs, with each one finally sort of excreting its answer into the surrounding area, which, rather than there being set paths between them, would just be this sort of larger matrix they all share, in which all their answers are combined, and which is itself surrounded by another larger membrane, which is itself just one cell among many, and so on, each level embedded hierarchically inside the next, such that their combined work gets passed up and up, going from molecule to creature, as it were, until some outermost skin membrane is reached and one sort of ultimate answer is sent out. One collective answer arrived at through a combination of brute force and heuristics, non-deterministically, but with perfect luck. What if the algorithm is an organism?
You should try that.
I did try it, and I think there's something wrong with it, because eventually that answer does, it just comes out as an, I guess, emergent property of this dynamic, multi-layered fucking mess. It just happens. The algorithm just knows. And so there must be something wrong with it, because if there's not, if I just built something that can solve an NP-complete problem like the TSP inside polynomial time, well, then that means...
That actually you have solved them all.
Is there a chair anywhere?
Can I see it?
Yeah, that's why I sent it to you. Here. Right? I've been working on this thing nonstop for years. And the right idea came as soon as I left it alone and worked on something else.
Isn't that just always how it goes?
We all know what happens usually with something like this, right? We all know how it usually goes. For a while, it seems like you've got everything right, finally, like everything is perfect, and then suddenly some unforeseen issue arises out of nowhere, and you're just like, oh, God, no, not this again.
Right.
And in this case, I really do not want that to happen.
Right. No, I mean, me neither.
Not with you and me.
Right. No.
So then, okay, can I tell you something?
Sure.
And allow me to preface this by saying that the reason I am telling you this is, like I said, because I do not want for it to happen, but I have had, historically, this problem where as soon as a, like, romantic situation is established, like, officially, like this one just was, I start to get this feeling, this, like, persistent feeling of, like, nagging discomfort or, like, these waves of anxiety or paralysis or just obligation, just this feeling of my whole life being circumscribed in this deadening way that fills me with overwhelming dread, with this just sadness, this just heavy, choking sadness that turns me into this, like, shell of a person who is not capable of joy, only suffering. And, you know, maybe I try to sort of ride that out and see if it will go away, but it never does until one way or another the whole thing falls apart, about which I feel secretly relieved. And again, I do not feel that happening here. Like, it does not seem to be happening in this case, but just to, like, preempt it or I guess ward it off, I thought I'd put it out there.
Okay. I mean, yeah, let's keep an eye on all that, shall we?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, my version of that is probably just disappearing. Like, I'll just be overtaken by this desire to get away from you as quickly as possible and pretend the whole thing doesn't even exist. And so suddenly you will just never hear from me again. And you'll be like, what the fuck just happened? Happened. Those were the echoes of your question going unanswered.
I got it.
I mean, I sort of just did that to someone, actually.
Oh.
Why? Is that awesome for you?
Kind of.
Gross.
Probably.
Okay, well, the point is that is what I do.
Great. Let's keep an eye on that as well.
Yes, let's. So, wait, what did we just decide?
I don't know. What do you think we just decided?
I asked you first.
Yes, and my response was to ask you what you think we decided.
Hey, you started this.
What? No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Well, okay, I mean, I invited you over to my apartment, but then you were the one who was like, yes, but I'm already in your apartment right now, though.
No, so. Elliot, you started this conversation.
Oh, well...
No, never mind, forget it. I don't even want to know.
Good. Me either.
Good. I'm glad. How are you getting home?
Actually, now that you mention it, I should probably be getting...
Oh,
no,
okay.
Just because there's nothing more embarrassing than going public with something like this before you're sure. And I don't want to get carried away. Before I do anything else, I should really verify this thing. The algorithm.
Oh, right. No, of course.
Yeah, as a wise woman once told me, that's why... emergent properties are so mysterious, because even when the result is right in front of you, you're nowhere if you can't explain how it was reached.
You have to make sure the answers it's producing are actually correct.
That's right. In a way, I'm glad that I still have more work to do on it, you know? Because once I know I've really done it, this thing that I've been, like, striving towards for... then it'll... just be like...
Yeah. What happens now? So I guess we should...
Yeah, let's... So,
yeah, I need to figure out how to branch out a little because there may be some problems with my funding, so...
Oh.
So I know that we just said, but in the spirit of... Okay, when I came here, I mean, it was to go to school, of course it was, but it was also just to start over a little, to move on from just this guy who sort of, do you, just that first person with whom you can envision actually having, like, a home?
Her name was Katie?
His name was Clark.
What happened?
It doesn't matter. Anyway, it's hard to explain. How you can feel like you let somebody down and like you're the one who got hurt?
Yes.
The point is I couldn't stay in that same place. I had to leave, and I did. And it worked, in a way. Like, when things are pretty busy and I'm preoccupied, or sometimes you just forget, I feel like I'm okay. But then also, sometimes when things get quiet enough, it feels like nothing else has happened to me since. Like, nothing real has happened in my life since. Are you... Does this make any sense?
No,
or,
yeah.
Yeah, but is this like really boring
no.
to you? Or
go on, tell me.
Because this is what it's like. It's like you walk off down the road and you think you're making all this progress, and then you stop and look down and you're like, oh, he is the road. And so then the question becomes, what am I supposed to do? Like, does that mean I shouldn't try again? Or that I definitely should, like, right away? Like, is waiting the answer, or is it the problem because the answer is not waiting? And if I don't know, then how am I supposed to tell somebody else that I wouldn't be with him and mean it? And if I do like someone, and if that makes me forget my sadness for a while, then does that mean that that person makes me happy? Or does that just mean that once that fades, once he's not useful anymore for, like, masking and replacing all of my pain, then nothing will be left except this guy, who through no fault of his own will just be, like, repellent to me now because he's just this other thing with all of its own crap to deal with. Just this extra burden on what I was carrying already. Or... if this is actually just unfixable now, if these feelings are just a part of me, then is the right person someone who can just accept and live with them? And even if I find someone who can, what if I can't? Like, what if that's not how I want to live? Like, what if there's a place in you that's only really touched when you get hurt? And nothing else can touch you in that place, but certain things pretend they can. And so your choices are to believe until you can't anymore and really hurt someone. And I've really hurt some people. Or to keep believing, to make yourself believe, and then get hurt yourself again in that same place. Or does the fact that that's what all this taught me mean that I've been doing absolutely all of it in some way wrong? That there's some other, better way to do it? And that every time there's at least the chance that I'll finally figure out what other way that is? You know?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like, does the cure always have to be the beginning of the next disease? So...
would you like to work here?
What?
Would you, or do you not have your computer, or...
No, yeah, I do.
Well, great. So then you could work here on your stuff while I work on mine. Like... we'd both be working on different things, but in the same shared...
No, I gotcha.
Unless you don't yeah. want to, or...
No, I think I would really like that. Yeah.
See, I wanted to do something called a genetic knockout, where you engineer an organism with your protein missing, because seeing what happens without it gives you clues as to what it's for. And I wanted to do it in mice because they're more like us than flies and worms and things. But apparently the result of knocking out proteins of this kind is too severe. It kills the mice.
Next time on The Play's the Thing.
I am going to run this and monitor its progress. You are going to check the results against the pre-existing data. Ready?
Are we doing this right now?
Do you have time? This could take a while.
I have. Sure.
Great. So, actually, let me just make a quick call. Actually, maybe email is.
Why me?
We We stage about 7 plays a year in Los Angeles, and we'd love to have you at one of our shows. We record them live in performance, so we can turn them into podcasts and audiobooks and radio shows, too. So if you're in L.A. or planning a trip, check out our website at latw.org or follow us on Facebook and Twitter for all the latest on L.A. Theater Works. Completeness stars Jason Ritter, Mandy Siegfried, Mia Baron, and Andre Saluzzo. It was directed by Stephen Sachs. It's part of a special science series we have that's made possible by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world. And don't forget, you can subscribe to The Plays the Thing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, NPR One, the Wondery app on Android, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. You can find the link to subscribe to our show by simply tapping or swiping over our cover art. I'm Susan Lowenberg for The Plays the Thing from LA Theater Works and Wondery.